The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
We open the sacred scripture tonight to 1 John chapter 4. Let us now read the chapter. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and hath sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Thus far we read the sacred scripture this evening. May God bless the reading of that inspired word to our hearts. It's on the basis of 1 John 4. And all of the teaching of the Bible that we find this evening, the instruction of Lord's Day 40 of the Heidelberg Catechism. The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. And now, Lord's Day 40 asks, what doth God require in the sixth commandment? That neither in thoughts, nor words, nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor, by myself or by another, but that I lay aside all desire of revenge. Also, that I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger. Wherefore also the magistrate is armed with a sword to prevent murder. But this commandment seems only to speak of murder. In forbidding murder, God teaches us that He abhors the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and that He accounts all these as murder. But is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? No. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, He commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness towards him, and prevent his hurt as much as in us lies, and that we do good even to our enemies. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, last week the Word of God came to us in the fifth commandment, saying, boys and girls, hearken unto your father and your mother. And hopefully you've been doing that. That word would have served very nicely for a baptism sermon, but the Word of God that comes to us tonight in the sixth commandment serves just as nicely for a baptism sermon. For the positive idea of the sixth commandment, which is thou shalt not kill, is love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now it's true that the fundamental idea underlying every commandment of the second table of the law is love for the neighbor. The fifth commandment says, love your neighbor by honoring his authority. The sixth commandment says, love your neighbor by not killing him. The seventh commandment says, love your neighbor by not committing adultery with him. The eighth commandment says, love your neighbor by not stealing from him. The ninth commandment says, love your neighbor by not bearing false witness against him. And the tenth commandment says, love your neighbor by not coveting what is his. Nevertheless, though that command to love the neighbor underlies every commandment in the second table of the law, so that we must love our neighbor in this or that respect, it is in the sixth commandment that God requires us to love him, to love him in his very person. For in the sixth commandment, God forbids that we murder our neighbor, that we murder him, kill him, kill him in his very person. Positively, God is requiring of us that we love him, that we love his person as we love our own person. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And what an appropriate word then for baptism, and what an important word for every home and every family. Let us not kill one another. But as the apostle of love by inspiration so tenderly puts it, beloved, more than once, beloved, let us love one another. According to God's goodwill, the sixth commandment follows the fifth commandment, in which God, as we heard last week, puts us in various relationships of authority and calls us to submit to and honor the authority that is over us. And now in the sixth commandment, God says, in all of these relationships in which you're called to honor authority, don't kill each other. But love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And that command comes right into the home tonight, right into every home, into this home, and to these parents who presented their child for baptism, and to all of us, don't kill each other. And not in words, and not in actions, and not in thoughts. Do not kill each other, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Beloved, let us love one another. To love is to desire and seek fellowship with the neighbor, to delight in the neighbor, to do good to the neighbor, even as God loves us and He desires and seeks fellowship with us and He delights in us in His covenant and does good unto us. And our Lord Jesus commands us to love our neighbor, anyone around us, everyone around us. Love thy neighbor, even the enemy, even the wicked, even the unbeliever who is near us. Love him. Love her. Now we all know from Scripture that we may not love the wicked by having fellowship with them and delighting in them as wicked unbelievers. For what fellowship does light have with darkness? And what delight does light take in darkness? While we may not have fellowship with the unbeliever whom we are called to love, we ought to desire fellowship with them in the light of God's covenant. And to that end, we will not only do them material good, but we will do them spiritual good. We will pray for their souls. We will admonish them and call them to repentance. And we will be a good example of light unto them. Peradventure, God is willing even to use us in the words we bring to turn a heart and bring one into the light, that we may have sweet fellowship with them in Christ and in God's covenant. But in this baptism sermon this morning, our emphasis is especially upon the home and the family, in those neighbors who are closest to us, those who are of our own bowels, those who live with us in the communion and covenant of God. And the word of God to us tonight in every home and every family is, beloved, let us love one another. Let us seek and pursue fellowship with each other. Let's delight in each other and do good to one another, even as God has first loved us. So, we take as our theme tonight, let us love one another. Let's consider first the object of love, second, the expression of love, and third, the source of love. The object of our love is not something, and it's not even something about our neighbor, but it is our neighbor. We must love their very person. As Jesus says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And the Catechism says in answer 107, He commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we love them, we will love their life. We will love them body and soul, and we will not and may not, therefore, murder them. Thou shalt not kill. What an outrageous thing to murder a human being. God permits some killing in self-defense, in war, and in taking the sword of the magistrate to the murderer, which we call capital punishment, and which is stated in answer 105, in order to prevent murder. While God permits some killing, God abhors murder. And murder is the intentional taking of another person's life in hatred for them. And what an outrageous thing it is to murder a human being, a person. one who is the fairest of all of God's handiwork in the creation. One who is made a little lower than the angels and crowned with glory and honor. One who was originally made in the very image of God. One in whom the Holy Spirit can dwell. What an outrageous thing to murder someone in whom the Holy Spirit does dwell. One who is in the image of God. One for whom Christ did die, and one who is the friend of God. Thou shalt not kill. And if the object of our love is the neighbor's person, then we may not murder persons. So, father and mother. The command comes to us in the home tonight, father and mother, thou shalt not murder thy children. Not even when they're yet unborn and in the womb. And not if there's a dreadful famine and you're starving and you consider your own flesh to be food, as some Israelites did. And not if you've apostatized and are devoted to Molech and want to please your new god Molech, as some Israelites did by sacrificing their boys and girls on altars unto Molech. Do not kill your son and your daughter. And son and daughter, boys and girls, thou shalt not murder. Some people do, but thou shalt not murder thy parents. And sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, though some people do, you may not murder each other, as Cain murdered Abel. And father and mother and son and daughter, boys and girls, thou shalt not murder thyself. A word used is suicide, but that's kind of a euphemistic term. Suicide is self-murder. Never, 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 never even think about murdering yourself. No matter how low your spirit may be, no matter how hopeless it all may seem, no matter how great your pain is, no matter how tormented and buffeted you are repeatedly by Satan, do not murder yourself. As the Catechism says, I may not hurt myself nor willfully expose myself to any danger, let alone murder myself. We all have a sinful, murderous nature, and the devil is the great murderer from the beginning. And God's church needs to hear the command, do not murder yourself. Besides, you will cause to your family and to your church and to your denomination and even to the community in which you live a grief that defies description. And reproach to the name of God and to the name of Jesus, who is the light of hope in a world of darkness. Thou shalt not murder thyself. The positive idea of the sixth commandment is that we love each other, that we love our neighbor's persons, that we do not merely love something about the neighbor, but we love them. So that when we say, I love you, we mean, I love you. That's very important in the home. That's very important in the marriage. That's very important in dating with a view to marriage. Sometimes in the immaturity of youth, young men and young women don't really understand what it means to say, I love you. And sometimes in the wickedness of sin, a husband and wife may understand what it means to say, I love you, but they're not willing to do it. I love you. I love you doesn't mean I love your beautiful face and your attractive body. I love you doesn't mean I love the fact that you're so popular and You are so well liked by so many people that my relationship to you enhances my status. I love you doesn't mean I love having a relationship with you because it makes me feel really good. I love you doesn't mean I love your family. You have an amazing family. I love you doesn't mean I love your money. I love your sweet sports car. I love you. I love your education, your background, and your witty humor. And I love you doesn't mean I love how you flatter me and you always tell me I'm a princess. What happens when her face and body gets old? Do you still love her? What happens when popularity and status become to you what they actually are? And that's vanity. What happens if in the relationship you don't always feel so good about the relationship, about the other person? And what if his family or her family really is really wonderful, but you discover that for every hour you spend with his or her family, you're spending 100 hours with him or her in close proximity in the home every day? Do you still love him? You still love her? And what if his money's gone, his car's gone, his smarts, they don't mean that much anymore. His humor is not found to be so witty. And he doesn't call you princess anymore and say, you're out of my league. Do you still love him? Love her? Beloved brethren, do you love her? And beloved sisters, do you love him? Beloved, let us love one another for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. In all circumstances, let us love one another. Now, do you understand that point as children, as boys and girls, that you love each other, that you love your father, that you love your mother? That means God is not pleased when you as a child say to your mother, I love you, mother. But all you mean is, I love the fact you do a lot of wonderful things. You clean the home, you clean my laundry, you make food for us. And if your mother's ever gone or she's lying low, she's sick, she's not able to do what she normally does, then you say, I wish mother were back in the home because I don't have any clean towels for after my shower. When you should say, because this is what it means to say, I love you, I wish my mother were back here because I love her. And I love to have a relationship with her and to delight in her personally as my mother. Or to say, I love you, father, doesn't simply mean I love the fact you're big and strong, or you built us a nice house, or you take us on a great vacation, or you're really wise in the church, you're really good at what you do in the workplace, that makes me feel proud, but that you love your father, so that if he's ever sick, he's hospitalized, he's out of the home, you don't say, I love my father, I wish he was back because he said he was going to put a pool in the backyard and now we might have to go the whole summer with no pool. But that you say, I love you, father, and what you mean is, I love you and love to see you and hear you and commune with you and delight in you. You're my father. I love you. So, beloved, let us love one another and let us say, I love you. And is it not good for the woman, for the children in the home to hear the father say, I love you, my wife. And I love you, my children. Or to hear their mother say, my dear husband, I love you. And my children, I love you. And for children to say to one another, I love you. Beloved, let us love one another, and we love our children no matter what. Another healthy baby boy, another healthy child born into the congregation, one after another. What if one of the children born into the congregation has a rare, severe genetic disorder and will not be able to walk, will not be able to communicate? You couldn't imagine saying, that child should have been aborted, which is to say, we should have murdered that child. You couldn't imagine not loving that child. We don't merely love our children for what they can do for us. We love them for who they are as a unique person created fearfully and wonderfully by God. And because we view them as the children of God's covenant, we love them as the children of God, no matter what they're like. Each one, love them. And you see it too, as you probably know, here or there, one with some severe disorder. They're not hard to love. Showered with love are those with severe handicaps. Let us love one another. And then that means also, if one of the children should grow up and go astray and walk contrary to the ways of God, that we love him, that we love her. For we never merely love the fact that they confess the Reformed faith. We never merely love the fact that they appeared to walk in godliness. We loved them. And now that they no longer confess the Reformed faith, or they no longer walk in the holy way of God, we still love them. And we must love them. And we will love them. And we are, as we already explained, not by having fellowship with them, what fellowship had light with darkness, but by seeking their highest good, which is that we can commune together in the light of God's covenant. And so we will plead to God for their salvation and speak fitting words to them in love for them. Beloved, let us love one another. The Catechism explains to us tonight the various ways in which we express our love. First, we can express our love to one another through words. Answer 105. That neither in thoughts nor words, nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor. The positive of that would be that in words I honor and love my neighbor. So what are the words of your home and of my home? What do people hear if they come into, or if they should live in your home? Does it sound like a Christian home? Would you hear a boy say to his sister, "What? You got 12 wrong on that math paper? Those are easy problems. How dumb can you be?" Or would you hear a sister say to her brother, "Wow, great job stacking up all of those boxes in the garage, and you did it so quickly and so neatly. When I heard Dad tell you to do that this morning, I thought it would have taken you all morning. Great job." What does this sound like? What are the words? Let us love one another in words. And how important it is then that the head of the home is leading the way and showing, even in family devotions, in prayer, to everyone in the home, the words of love by praying for his wife and his children, by praying to God in gratitude for this wife, for these children. Beloved, let us love in word. Secondly, the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us that we express our love to one another in gestures and deeds. Answer 105, that neither in thoughts nor words nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor. The positive then is that through gestures and deeds we honor and love our neighbor. One word to describe that would be taken out of answer 107 as kindness, that I show all kindness towards him or her. Some gestures and deeds are murderous. Little boys like to rumble and tumble and giggle as they wrestle on the floor, but there comes a point where a line is crossed and the face is getting red. And the eyes are glaring, and it's hitting and shoving and slapping and kicking and pulling. And there's anger and hatred in the heart. Or it may happen that a parent loses control of his emotions, her emotions, and the temper begins to flare. And in unholy anger, the child is given a spanking. There are gestures and deeds that are murderous. 1 John 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So what can we do to show husband, wife, father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister that we love them through our gestures and actions? Maybe instead of complaining about the meal, not maybe, for sure, instead of complaining about the meal and being told to do the dishes, you can express to your mother gratitude for the meal that she made, and without being told, do the dishes, and then ask what else you can do, so that we show our love in gestures and deeds. Thirdly, the Catechism teaches us that we can express our love by showing a number of virtues. These are found in answer 107. But is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? And the manner mentioned above is murder, but then also God, answer 106, is abhorring the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, the desire of revenge. Is it enough if we don't do that? No. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, He commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And now here comes the positive that stands over against the anger, hatred, desire for revenge, and so on, that we show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and so on. First, patience. We love one another by showing patience. What a great virtue for a father and mother in God's covenant to have patience and show their love through patience and not getting exasperated in the training of a child, where it appears lesson one failed and day two, lesson two fail, and trying to teach a little child to sit properly in church. And the first week was a disaster, we think. And the second week it did not go well at all. And the third week, this is going to be impossible. And father and mother are beginning to feel exasperated, but there is such a thing as patience. Patience with a little child. Maybe the child's not catching on. Maybe the child's deliberately refusing and needs to be disciplined, but in all cases, to show our love with patience. And that especially if someone wrongs us in the home, to be patient. Now let's just suppose you've had a long day and you're finishing up your late night class. It's 9:30, you're leaving the university, walking to your car, and your mother texts you a picture of a heaping piece of strawberry pie with whipped cream on the top, and she put it, last piece, she put it on a plate, it's on the top shelf in the fridge. She texts it to you. You get the picture. You're on the way home salivating. Can't wait to get it. And you open up the fridge and it's gone because your younger brother, though instructed not to touch it, touched it. Not only touched it, he ate it all. And it's gone. And now what? Hatred? Anger? Desire for revenge? Or a patience that is not easily provoked? Beloved, let us love one another in patience and by not stealing. Love. Peace, says the Catechism. To show patience, peace. How important it is that the head of every home be a peacemaker who, as much as in him lies, desires and works hard to establish and maintain peace in his home. Some homes are rocked with quarrel and discord. Some homes are freezing cold in tension, as they say, so thick you can cut it with a knife. And how important it is that the head of the home, especially as the head, be a peacemaker who, as much as in him lies, pursues peace in his home, preventing strife, if at all possible, in every way, and promoting peace by being a man of peace who lives in peace with his God and desires that everyone in the home live in peace with God and then therefore with one another. Peace. Let us love one another by living in peace. The Catechism continues to show patience, peace, meekness. Meekness shows itself in various ways, but essentially meekness is to be willing to serve as our Lord was meek and willing to get down on his knees to wash the feet of his disciples. A meekness like being willing to get down and tie your little sister's shoes yet again. Because you're meek. Let us love one another in meekness, putting the other first. Meekness. Next, the Catechism mentions mercy. Let us love by showing mercy, by having bowels of mercy, so that we want, as the Catechism says, to prevent another's hurt as much as in us lies, and so that we do all that we can to alleviate the distress of our loved ones. When they are sick and laid low, when they are struggling mightily with their work, their homework, stress because of work, they're getting mocked at work, they're losing sleep because of a crying baby, they're having some deep spiritual struggle that's hard to talk about, and they're getting discouraged. To love one another is to show mercy by seeking to alleviate the distress of those we love. And when a child is being disobedient, mercy is required. The mercy to look at a child and see she's being disobedient to God. And that's not good. And therefore the mercy that's willing to discipline in the name of Christ, that God may use that for the good of the child's heart. Mercy. The Catechism continues, and all kindness we've already mentioned toward our neighbor and prevent his hurt as much as in us lies. And finally, that we do good even to our enemies. Now we're focusing on the home and the family tonight for baptism. It would be a most soul-wrenching trial if one in your own family, your own home, became your enemy. But it could happen, as Absalom became the enemy of his father David as an enemy of God, it worked itself out that he became an enemy who hated his own father, David. And if you should have an enemy in your own family, God says, love them. And love them by doing good to them. For every mean word they say to you or about you, say a prayer for them. And for every mean gesture they show you, share with them the love of the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ. Beloved, let us love one another. Having considered the object and the expression of love, we come now to what the inspired Apostle John is most excited to teach us. In 1 John chapter 4, and that's the source of this love. Let's consider for just a moment, especially verses 7 through 11, which have as their bookends that, beloved, let us love one another. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Three things here. Number one, all love is of God because God is love. God is in himself a God of three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the three persons of the Godhead do not merely love something about the other, as if the Father merely loves the fact that the Son is willing to take on human flesh and die for his people. But the Father loves the person of the Son. The Son loves the person of his Father. In the Holy Spirit, the Father pants after, desires, seeks fellowship with the Son, so that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost live in love and enjoy fellowship one with another. 1 John 1, God is light. 1 John 4, God is love. True love is found in the light, in God. For God is love. All true love is of God. Second, God loves us and manifested his love eternally in the God of love. The triune God not only loved himself, but he set his love upon certain persons whom he beheld in the beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and elected those persons in Christ and was willing to create those persons as human beings and in time and history to lead them through the way of sin and grace in Jesus Christ into his covenant of fellowship and ultimately, finally, into the new heavens and the new earth where God will live in covenant communion with these persons through Christ forever and ever. God loves persons. He loves you and me. And therefore, he manifested, the apostle says, he manifested his love by sending his only begotten Son to be a propitiation for our sins. That is, to appease his wrath as the just and holy God, which wrath was kindled by the sins his elect people commit. Through that propitiatory sacrifice of the only begotten Son, all of the elect persons are redeemed unto God. Jesus died for persons. He didn't simply die for our sins. He died for his sheep. He died for us. He loves us. And he is the manifestation, especially on the cross, he is the manifestation of God and God's eternal love for us. So number one, all love is of God because God is love. Number two, God loves us and manifested his love, especially in the death of his Son. And now third, God begets us unto a new life of love. For begotten of our father Adam through original sin, we are all conceived dead in trespasses and sins. By nature, we hate God. We hate each other. We're full of hatred, discord, strife, envy, bickerings, wrath, clamoring, desire for revenge. By nature, we are the children of the devil and have no love for God and for each other. But by virtue of, on the basis of, that propitiatory sacrifice of the only begotten Son, where he earned for us righteousness, we have a right to the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. So God, through the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, comes into our hearts and begets us unto a new life. We are born again, born from above, with the love of God in our hearts. Born of God, says the apostle, begotten of God, so that now we can love God and we can love one another. Baptism is a picture of being incorporated into Christ, being born again by the Holy Spirit of Christ, so that we now have, through the Spirit, this principle of love in our hearts, whereby we can and do love God and love one another. Now we and our children, according to the covenant promise of God, having the Holy Spirit because we've been born again of God, we can kill. And we will kill the old man of hatred. And that's a wonderful thing. And because of that Spirit, we can hate our sins and be grieved by our hatred for God and each other, mourning over our sins. Because we've been born again, we can plead for forgiveness for our hatred. We can sincerely desire to walk in the sixth commandment, loving one another as God commands us. Are we not thankful for the love of God? Of course we are. Tonight, thankful for God's great love of us. And so we will show our gratitude by loving one another. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, great God of our salvation, what wondrous love thou hast shown to us through that propitiatory sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, apart from which we would be the objects of thy wrath and be banished and destroyed everlastingly in hell, and that justly so, for our enormous and wicked, wicked sins of hatred for thee. What a wonder. What a miracle. Hallelujah, we say tonight, that thou art love, and that thou dost love us, and hast given Christ to die for us, and reconciled us unto thee. Oh God, may we truly be moved and stirred in our hearts by the greatness of Thy love, so that we are those who abound in true love for each other. Grant it, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.